Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shir number 32 with the Shir for Women. We're going to go again back to the book. It's all about change, but by Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein. Again, the book has a lot of tremendous jewels in here. That's Kedai. We're only picking certain parts of it, and this is probably going to be the last Shir on this book. And one piece he has here called No Extra Pieces. It says, the day you were born was the day Hashem decided that the world cannot exist without you. If you didn't need to be here, you wouldn't be here. When someone believes that they have no use in this world and they have no reason to be here, tell them the following. If you wouldn't be needed in the world today, you wouldn't have woken up this morning. Hashem doesn't have any extra pieces on the board. He said he remembers receiving model airplanes and other toys as a young boy and having the same problem. Either pieces were missing or there were too many pieces, but it was his mistake because he never read the instruction manual. Because games and toys do not come with missing pieces or extra pieces. They are manufactured with the exact number of parts. Hashem is perfect at putting the pieces together. There's no extra piece in the world. Where you are not needed, if you would not be needed, you would not be here. If you woke up this morning and you are here, you have a mission. And if you come up with, I don't know, you got to think of the answer long and hard. Because the manufacturer here is Hashem himself. He doesn't have extra screws and extra pieces. You're not an extra part. You are needed. And when you feel something is unneeded, you take it in part and find out what the story is there. You look deep into ourselves. And you figure out why you're here. There's not a blade of grass. There's not a hair on your head. That doesn't have to be there. That's Hashem created the world that way. And you need to recognize that. That Hashem is made you. And you're here for a specific purpose. He needs you. And he places great value in you. And that's something to always remember. From Noach Warmberg, he talks about giving to Hashem. He was a brilliant man. Before Esh HaTorah took off, he had several of his planned yeshivas failed, and he still tried again and again and again and produced what he produced. He went through a lot of disappointment, a lot of rejection. He was first with Ar Sameach, with a bunch of his friends. They built up the yeshiva. There was a philosophical difference between him and the others. And they had a din Torah, and he was thrown out. And it's brought down in his biography. He, for a little bit, he had a downness of it, not too long. But he bounced back from it. He bounced back from it. And he used to say, everything that you have in this world is because Hashem gave it to you. When you give tzedakah to someone, that money was given to you by Hashem. When you teach someone, that knowledge was granted to you by Hashem. Everything belongs to Hashem. If he endowed you with something, it's so you can turn and help and support others. And Rav Noach Weinberg said that since I started the dream of building yeshiva for those unaffiliated with Judaism, I made a decision that I want to give Hashem something he doesn't have. Everything in this world is his except for one thing. Someone who doesn't know about God and about Torah and Judaism, that person is disconnected. Hashem doesn't have a relationship. And the idea is, technically, he's really bound to him always, but the mission is to give that to Hashem, to open up that connecting line between that person and Hashem. And I would have tried however many times I needed to give this to Hashem. And I wasn't going to stop until I was successful in giving him what he doesn't have. So sometimes you think, I'm trying to help this child come closer to Judaism, but it's not working. Remember Rav Noach, and don't stop. Don't stop and keep on trying. Then there's a chapter here called The Thorny Rose. And he says here that he was speaking to schools and he gave copies of things about Hakaras HaTov. And he was talking to students, and he said that Hakaras HaTov isn't simply to recognize something is good. It also refers to scenarios where something does not look good, and you're able to ascertain and see the goodness within. And in every life situation, the good in that situation is to be taken note of and appreciated. So to drive his point home, he asked the girls, what's the most beautiful flower? And they all answered the rose, because it's brought down in Shir HaShirim, that the Jewish people are compared to Kishoshana Ben Achoichim, right? God's most beloved flower in his world's garden is Hashem, is Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Now, a rose has thorns, easily pricks and cuts anyone who extends their hand to grab hold of it. So why? How is it beautiful? So the answer is it comes down how you view that rose. Did Hashem create the rose with thorns, or did he create the thorns with flowers? That's the perspective that you have to look at it. What do you see? What do you see? You see the rose that has thorns around it, or you see this is thorns with just a flower there? Your perspective will determine if you see the thorns as something good or not. Are the thorns an asset or the thorns a liability? So Rabbi Wallerstein posed this question to hundreds of girls seated in the auditorium. Many flowers don't have thorns. Why did Hashem make that roses have thorns? That's the most beautiful flower, so it's better not to have thorns at all. Why do you make the most beautiful flower have thorns? And a sixth grader meekly raised her hand, and the sixth grader said, Rabbi Wallerstein, it's because Hashem wanted to protect his most beautiful flower. He said, she nailed it. She nailed it. That's the answer. That's why the rose has thorns. Because Hashem wants to protect his most beautiful flower. He says, Rabbi Wallerstein says, I remember planting fruits and vegetables each spring in my home and garden, and every year the chipmunks and rabbits and squirrels and cats would destroy them all. It was almost as if I was planting fruits and vegetables for them. The only flowers they never got to were the roses. The rose bush remained intact. Why? Because the thorns protected it. When Shlomo HaMelech calls us Hashem's rose, he was alluding to the fact that we are Hashem's most precious nation, and therefore Hashem provided us with extra protection. We are his children, and he watches over us with added care and a close eye. Nations have attempted to annihilate us, have been all annihilated themselves. The Greeks, the Persians, the Roman empires, they're no longer here. We have God's strength surrounding us, and he guarantees for our eternal survival. We are his special flower, and we are treated as such. And that's what Akar Satay really is. You could look at the rose and say, with the thorns, and say, wow, Hashem created these thorns, and decided to place them, a beautiful flower, on top of it. Or you could say, Hashem creates such sharp thorns to protect the flower from predators and those who want to destroy it. So there's different ways of looking at it, and the way you look at it, it shifts your mind. There's a famous quote, I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. But I always wondered why he stopped crying because he met someone with no feet. Nothing changed. He still had no shoes. So why did he stop crying? The answer is he looked at life differently now. He focused on the potential. The other man would never be able to have shoes. Whereas me, I may not have shoes right now, but I have feet. If I have feet, ultimately I could have few shoes in the future, even though I don't have them now. That is the greatness of Akar HaSataif. You see potential. Within the bleakness of the bitterness of thorns, you see the goodness awaiting to blossom. That is what the Jewish people are. No matter what circumstances befall us, we have potential, and we see the good. We know there's a future. We endure l'olam va'ed. And that is the idea. And that is the idea of recognizing that beautiful gift. To recognize and see the goodness in everything. To recognize how the most difficult things are there to protect us and watch us or to learn from. And he goes through, after this, another piece called The Roots of Potential, and he explains it's this unusual Gemara. If you see how beautiful, if you're learning Torah and you see how, and you look how beautiful a tree is or a plow field is, it's problematic. He's not supposed to do that. And the question is why? Goes through different reasons, because generally speaking, you're allowed to, and it's good to, if you look at a tree or a plowed field and you recognize the greatness of Hashem from it, that's a mitzvah even. But when you're in the middle of learning Torah, you shouldn't be doing that. But the idea being, he says, very interesting, that the problem is like this. He's looking at a fully developed tree. He's looking at a fully plowed field. A fully developed tree in a fully plowed field is already something that is brought down, that's brought out in its full potential already. But not quite. A plowed field still has to be planted and seeded, right? A tree, on the other hand, is actualized potential. It grows hundreds of feet tall, with roots reaching on the ground, providing shade and fruit and so on. So Rav Chaya Wallerstein says that the Mishnah mentions two aspects, a plowed field and a tree. A plowed field represents our unlimited potential waiting to be cultivated and nourished, and the tree reminds us of our accomplishments and achievements. So if a person's in the middle of learning Torah and interrupts to admire a tree or a plowed field, you're reminding yourself of your inner potential and your fully developed accomplishments, but you don't take to heart the message, but you may be distracted by the external beauty of it, then that's where it says it's chai ben nafshai, because it should inspire to what we present, to connect the learning to his life. He should return to learning when he sees this with more intensity to bring out his potential. So that's the idea. If you get lost looking at a tree and a plowed field for no reason, without deep thought, is a problem. But when you look at it and see the potential of the plowed field, see the actuality of what a tree became, and you use that to grow in your learning, that's what it's meant to do. So when you're not studying Torah and you look at the world and you admire the beauty of the world and you grow your love for Hashem, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But when you're in the middle of learning Torah and you're pursuing the greatest part of life, that's the true, true connection. But the idea being is, just looking at this, just like he gave an example before of looking at a rose that has thorns around it in the right perspective, here you could look at a plowed field that's to be seeded with a healthy perspective. It's meant to grow and to fulfill your potential, or a tree. This is the way we're supposed to think. We're supposed to think deeply into the creation, deeply into what Hashem does for us and what Hashem is doing every moment of the day, and recognizing beyond the superficiality of it. So sometimes, you see, Rav Avigdor Miller once like put it into my head that way. Very rainy day, and you have to, and it's windy also, and you have an umbrella, and it's not comfortable outside. But then you see, he used to see, look, Hashem is washing the streets. And it's so true. That very often, when it doesn't rain for a while in the summer, and the streets get dirty and dusty and so on and so forth, and you have those little garbage things with the sweepers that get rid of some of the dirt and move it from here to there, not really doing much. And then you have the rain that actually washes it away. And after the rain, it's quite clean very often. He's washing the streets. It's just a different perspective of looking at rain. So the idea is, again, to go back to everything we spoke about today. A lot of very important lessons. And again, this is the last year on this book, but it's highly recommended. It's called It's All About Change, Stories and Insights from Rav Chaya Wallerstein. Number one, there's no extra pieces. Everything has a cheshbon. And you are born. That means the world cannot exist without you. And you can connect it to the next thing. Because the world cannot exist without you, you have the ability to give something to Hashem that no one else can give. The story of Noach Weinberg, fulfilling your potential. The idea of a thorny rose. to see the beautiful rose and recognize the thorns around it is to protect it and learn the lessons from that, learn the lessons from a plowed field, learn the lessons from a grown tree, learn the lessons from everything around us. Because there are lessons Hashem is talking directly to us with everything we see and with everything we do. Bracha v'atzlacha.